gosh, and I'm going to forget the. Oh, how could I forget the? I wrote some pieces for it. Dino, I'm embarrassed. What did we call the magazine?
Does the leaderboard
no,
up
it's not up yet.
No, you got to look at difficulties. That's all you got to look at. That's all you're going to have.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I'm going to try one other thing for you, okay?
Thanks.
But tell them about the magazine. Tell them about the magazine.
Here, well, I was on TBG 2009. I sat there with Christina and I don't know what show it was. I forgot her name. She works at Oaklawn now. I told them back in 2009, you need to put Puff Daddy in the stands of Gulfstream Park, and you're going to pack the place.
That's awesome.
People didn't like Diet Pepsi till Puff Daddy started drinking it.
That's
right. Now all of a sudden, there's a Pegasus Cup. I was before my time, Steve. Is that what it was?
You were.
You never know. I might come raging back soon. Horse Society magazine.
Horse Society.
Excitement at the racetrack.
I cannot believe that
be
I
beautiful.
Forgot.
I love it.
I'm embarrassed.
And technical difficulties.
No,
I have 22
I
to 1 shot.
I can't reach it.
I would play to a score. I mean, I think, you know, anyway, you kind of have to play to a score. We don't, because it's not continuously updated anyway.
Yeah.
I would just keep that in mind.
Fire away.
You know, think 175. Godspeed. Yeah, get your act together and we'll talk more.
Unbelievable.
That sounds cool. Well, seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a lovely kid from the Italian neighborhoods in Providence. That I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
that's all you need
Buddy
to know.
Buddy Cianci and them.
Ray Patriarca and the whole crew. Dino, an absolute, just a gem and full of energy. He was way ahead of the curve. He got involved in vape products. He's got a real good sense of what's next all the time.
Somebody I need to be talking to, clearly.
I've stayed friendly with him. He's got a door. His girlfriend at the time was working on the magazine, and she handled a lot of the business stuff. And they had an adorable son together, and still see her down at Gulfstream once in a while.
Very cool.
They live up. She lives up in, I think, still in Providence. We're in Boston. Really nice. Really nice. Well, this is...
You got your backpack on. That doesn't feel like a good sign.
That's not good. That's...
Not good at all.
Roger Satina.
Can't win them all.
It's one of those, you know, it's one of those scenarios. And you were saying the prices were there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you were on a lot of different prices, I'm guessing. Do you have bad beats? Was it a lot of thirds, or was it
no.
a not seeing the ball story? How do you
Wasn't
describe your day?
Wasn't seeing the right ones, that's all.
Gotcha.
It happens.
You seem philosophical about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's
my brain is just fried.
Yeah, it happens. Well, you have a resume... really second to nobody, even the winners in this event with the incredible 2 seconds. You ever have a conversation with Steve Wolfson Jr. about the fact that you share that unbelievable achievement of being second in this twice? Or he won and finished second. You have the 2 seconds.
Did he win and finish second?
Didn't he? Yeah, Steve won early on, and then he finished second in recent ones. I mean, it seems to me you guys are both the guys who are going to be – they're going to come – reach for you in one of these years when it comes to the Hall of Fame time. So amazing to make those deep runs. And, you know, as much as we don't like to admit it, luck just plays a huge role. And if it's not your day, it's not your day.
Sure does. It's just amazing how many big prices today. It was like crazy.
When you went back and looked at some of these cap horses, was there anything to second guess, or they just weren't your type of cap?
They just weren't mine.
What do yours typically look like? What are some of the features that your cap horses share?
I don't know. Pedigree. It all depends the kind of race. You know?
Right. That makes sense.
Pedigree, speed figures, thoroughbred numbers. Who knows? It just didn't look like it. And the one at Gulfstream that John Kimmel won, like, that horse was usable.
Yeah.
So, it's... I went a different way. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it happens. It happens to everybody. What does your contest schedule look like coming up? I know when we talked fairly recently, you were interested in developing some more live bankroll chops. Is that something that's in the process of happening?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully this year. Just very busy, but I'm going to try to get to more of them. Absolutely.
What's tops on your list of places to visit?
Well, Monmouth will be there because it's next door.
Yep. And Brian does such a great job.
Brian does a great job. Then after that, I'm really not sure. Got to look when the schedule comes out and plan.
Beautiful.
Probably not going to make it to Keeneland in April. Be too busy. And I went last year and it rained for 2 days. So that wasn't... was a little annoying, to say the least.
Have you done one of the Santa Anita ones yet?
I have not.
I would say that's a fun one to put on the list. I'd keep that on the also eligibles, if not make it an absolute must.
It's definitely on the list.
And they have the good thing about there, too, is there's so many opportunities. Keeneland's wonderful, but if you're not free those 2 weekends or you get bad weather, whatever, you're in trouble. Santa Anita, a lot of different opportunities. I might want to fold a little bit of that in.
We'll probably put that on the list for this year.
I like it. What you got cooking? Will you be back here tomorrow to try the console? You going to stick around?
I'm sure I will.
Excellent.
I'm not going home till Monday morning, so you never know. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow morning.
And that happens. We've seen that. We've seen that happen plenty.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. And tonight, are you just gonna collapse, or are you going to try to rally and do something social?
Tonight is going to be Basil Hayden's. And I know you know what that means.
Tonight belongs to Basil Hayden. They have a decent whiskey selection at the bar here. And obviously, if you're willing to travel, some crazy whiskey selections around town. That sounds good. I'd love to buy you one if we run into you down at the bar.
Maybe I'll see you later.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, guys.
Roger.
Godspeed.
Steve, thank you.
Have a great night.
Always.
Thank you. Cheers, buddy.
See you later.
Such a good sport, such
yes,
a good guy.
Is.
And see, I kid you not, future NHC Hall of Famer, I can pretty much guarantee.
Well, he owns horses with Chuck Simon, and he loves the game. Let's take a look. We've got how many minutes? 5 minutes. Let's dive into this ninth race, Pete, at Santa Anita. And this is the last mandatory, and it is a nice, bulky field of 13. The favorite... Not any surprise, Proctor with Chicago Style for
Craig Burnick
and Glenn Hill. And 5-2, not too short. And, yes, logical, but there's plenty of other considerations when you look at this group. The most interesting scenario is Dabster, who bypassed last week Baffert. Looking to do something else with him and putting him on the grass. He has never run on the turf, but over the years, Baffert has talked about it. Here's the chance for the Curlin son out of On a Roll, the AP Indy mare. Watts Humphrey originally bred him. So Dabster, and he certainly, you know, when it comes to the mile and a quarter distance, you don't have to worry about that with him. Dabster currently 4-1. What did you do in here?
Yeah, Chris, you said you've got a pulse. You hit a capper or something, and you're above the cut line?
I'm at like 180 now. So.
Oh, geez, that's good.
Yeah.
It looks like you might be able to play tomorrow unless things go haywire. What's your view on this race at Santa Anita?
My view is from the beach.
that's beach view.
Yes, that's who I like in this race. I think he's real strong.
And you played in the contest.
Yes. I love it because now I'm at a point where I can play that horse where... 30 minutes ago, I would have had to go with something else. But, yeah, I really like him. Horse is the horse to beat. But I think, to me, the 8 horse is very strong in here.
6-1. And, you know, I'll tell you one horse that took a crazy amount of money as of right now. And that was the first time North America for John Sadler, Seho.
Yeah, that makes me a little nervous because I don't see that, but it sure is taking.
Well, he's
money.
Worked. He's got Andy Harrington. That's a national turf push based on his appearance in the mornings. He's been very spirited. He's got a lot of energy and you know seems like a horse that might take to this turf course.
Yeah, just those Euro horses. You know, they tend to break slow the first time they run in the U.S. and it's a big adjustment. So yeah, I think he's a big underlay, but I'm always nervous when that happens, and there's a horse you don't expect to see take money does.
What tools do you use to evaluate the European shippers?
Mostly Timeform US.
Yes, they do a great job just presenting that info and integrating it into the format.
Yeah, so it gives you a way to kind of compare them to the American runners, and you get a lot of detailed notes on there. You can see what their running style is without having to watch all the replays. And
do you have a formula that you use to convert the figures for the Timeform UK that appear in the Timeform USPPs to like a buyer scale, or do you compare them just apples to apples by looking at all the Timeform numbers?
I look at all the Timeform numbers. 'Cause they say they try to make it comparable. So that's the way I
they definitely
it.
Underrate the best ones, but I think for you know, your sort of day in, day out racing, I do think that, you know, that's it's yeah. it's useful to kind of get a line, though. I will typically upgrade a little bit based on
I
the
do that
number.
But I think that's just LASIKs. So if they're
yeah,
getting LASIKs,
that's fair. That's a good
I
point.
Upgrade them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If they don't, then I don't. And I yeah. think that does make that's usually worth, you know, I'd say a few buyer points because they come in, you know, I don't know what the exact amount, but horses lose 20 or 30 pounds when they run on LASIKs, and that's why they run faster. They're just lighter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I'll speak from experience. It's easier to run without the 20 or 30
oh,
pounds.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it's what the thing that people don't realize is, they, well, you know, 5 pounds, how can that matter to a 1,000-pound horse? They might not feel it, but, like, if you're a runner, and you're a runner now, you know, I am if you wear a sweatsuit when you normally run shorts and a T-shirt, it doesn't feel heavy, but it slows you down. And when you're done, it took you a few more minutes to run that race.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the physics is still there, even if it's not necessarily noticeable.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that sounds right. I mean, the game, our spreads are so little that typically weight doesn't, quote-unquote, matter when we're doing our handicapping form study here, but... You know, they have the whole system over there is based on it, and it's they've done it for a long time, and so I think to totally dismiss it is
well,
provincial.
If you look at the arc, I mean, 3-year-old fillies win that half the time, and
yeah.
it's not because they're the fastest horses.
Correct.
It's because they're getting a gigantic break in the weight.
Yeah, is it more than 8 pounds even?
Yeah, I think it's like 12 pounds
yeah.
or something.
It's right, you get the weight for age and the weight for the sex as well.
So this is a good race, though. I mean, you always like it when they have these turf stakes with big fields.
This is a great contest race, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it's just amazing. You know, there's lots of skill, but it... I mean, I just had rotten luck for the last 2 days. I mean, seconds and thirds, and then all of a sudden, I just go bang, bang.
What were the winners that you had?
I had the cap horse and the mandatory at Oaklawn.
That's big, 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 big.
And I really liked the horse.
So
I mean,
did we.
Hear that.
Preston Sims bought us tickets.
Take a look at this. Preston Sims handed that to me right before we... I didn't even look until they were, like, around the turn. I was like, oh, maybe this is for this race?
It's too
yeah.
funny.
The horse had it. I liked him. And then I hit a 10-to-1 shot at Tampa on the
nice.
Turf. He came from last to first. And the head of the lane, I thought he was dead. He was totally boxed in, but he found a seam and got up. And even at Oaklawn, at the head of the lane, I thought the horse was going to get swallowed
up. Oh, yeah,
up.
He was
And he
passed.
Rebroke
yeah.
and won. So, yeah, you know, it's a lot of luck. You know, sometimes you get the results, sometimes you don't. So now if I can just bring home a couple here, I can make the cut, and anything could happen tomorrow.
You're looking just to chip away, play who you like from here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you no reason not to play a longer price to maybe get you up there, but at this point you could basically do anything, just chip away
right.
and make sure you have that seat in the semifinals. I feel like there's few enough races left. I'm not sure how much that cut line's going to move from here. You still thinking 175, 180, 167?
I'm thinking I'm right. I'm at right 180, and I'm hoping that's above the cut. But you know, right in that, it's hard to predict.
Yeah, you don't have a ton of confidence in that number.
I'd like to hit something in this race.
Maybe you'll add to it right here.
Yeah.
It looks like they're getting ready to go in. We'll let you get back to whatever
all right, thanks,
whatever
yeah.
spot you've been watching these. I'd go back to that spot.
Thanks.
Cheers, bye-bye. Buddy. Thank you, Chris.
Chris Larmy, and let's run this down. Right now, you're looking at 2-to-1 Chicago style. Your second choice, Dabster, is 4-to-1, 5-to-1 on Sejo, the Nathaniel Colt I mentioned, first time North America for Sadler and Pratt. 6-to-1 Beachview, that's Chris's play. And then after that, you look at Epical for Deron Pearson and Jim Cassidy. Tyler Bay's aboard. He was 7-to-2 morning line and is currently 6-to-1. And certainly, I think, part of the pace scenario. And then after that, it's all pretty much all double-digit. I'll tell you who is, if he reboots himself, is certainly you know, a horse that's got a great history, and that's Flamboyant, the Beanstalk winner from Paddy Gallagher, and 19-to-1 on Flamboyant, which is just a little ridiculous given his long history of success. And you know, he might not be the same horse that he was, but Flamboyant 19-1 now. Beachview up to 7-1, 5-2 on Chicago Style. Other than that, I think we've hit the highlights, Pete, in terms of the most the most major players on this board.
It's going to be fascinating to see. Good story. Randy Bauer, who I wrote a great story about from when he was bubbling. He was one of the bubble boys a few years ago. And a horse who he was just torn. He had two horses he basically had to play, had to pick one of them here. He's hoping that Flamboyant wins. Well, he's going to be kicking himself.
I mean, he's not the same, but this is kind of a grab bag group.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen. He's, once again, just on the outside looking in, it sounds like, Randy. Very nice guy. We'll see if he can get there. We'll see what happens here. Santa Anita.
Just about set. First start. Frank Nirmati.
They're off in the San Marcos. Dabster began well. So did India Montuan on the far outside. Here's Roman Rosso coming through along the inside to vie for command. And Roman Rosso, a bit headstrong, is up to take the lead. India Montuan is in second. And then it's Platinum Warrior third through the opening quarter mile. Just behind them, it's Say Ho down at the rail, unapologetic. Then Dabster. Epico will be off the pace today. He was a little ranked, but he settled down just a bit. Seven lengths off the speed. Yagata Wana is a couple behind him. Another four to Beachview. Then a pretty decent gap to Chicago Style, racing on the inside of Flamboyant. Lucky Soul is toward the back of the pack. And just inside of him is Prince of Arabia. Around the turn they go, and it's Roman Rosso showing the way, leading it by a length to India Mantuana. Unapologetic is just behind them in third. Platinum Warriors, Fort Seho next. At the rail, Epical, four lengths off the lead. Dabster inches up in the clear with the blue cap. Then Yagata Wana, followed by Beach View, who's seven lengths off the lead. Another length and a half to Prince of Arabia. Chicago Style is still unhurried. At the back are Lucky Soul and Flamboyant. Less than a half mile in the San Marcos. Roman Rosso has been there every step of the way. Platinum Warrior is up alongside. Unapologetic. India Mantuana is weakening. Seho, Epical at the rail. A three-wide Dabster is now called on. Still has plenty of work to do. Yagata Wana is next. They're followed by Beach View. Chicago Style, yellow cap, 10 off the lead. As Platinum Warrior takes the lead at the top of the stretch and quickly opens up two on Roman Rosso. Unapologetic's had a good trip. On the far outside comes Beach View and Dabster. Epical is coming alive in the center. But in the meantime, Platinum Warrior has a four-length lead. Epical is closing stoutly. Beachview on the outside with a late bid. It's going to be Platinum Warrior to win the San Marcos. Epical was second in front of Beachview.
As predicted, the best reaction of the day. There's a lot of celebrating going on. Probably a lot of people in and around the cut line just put themselves into the semifinals with a square-priced winner there.
The other Sadler. In this case, the other Sadler.
Wow, was that 16-1?
Yes. Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Platinum Warrior, and, that's one of the great, one of the classics, particularly at Santa Anita and the California Del Mar, the other Baffert, the other
yes.
O'Neill, the other Sadler, in this case, Seho, who really was kind of punchless, never didn't really rally, it was a good certainly in striking distance, heading for the turn, but had nothing. And Platinum Warrior, the Galileo four-year-old, and this is his fourth start in North America and really the first start that he put everything together. And quite a nice story involving the jock as well. What about Foley here, and I'm very curious about Shane Foley's association with this horse, going back to Europe, and it feels like Sadler for the San Gabriel back in January, after Drayden Van Dyke had ridden him twice, he reached out to Foley, and Foley connected with him, and obviously has gotten this horse to run his best races. And so Shane Fowler, can't wait to talk to Sadler on Monday.
That'll be fun.
You saw the European style jockey, the yep. you know the Yahoo style down the stretch.
Yeah, you don't. We've seen the Euro riders having a big day out there at Santa Anita.
Epicole ends up second in here, nosing out Beachview, and the disappointment that could have been the difference for Chris Larmy right there, the 7-1 shot.
I think he's going to be okay. I think that 180 is going to put him safe, but he'd have felt a lot better even just with those place points. But that's what it's going to be from here. A lot of noses. There's going to be a lot of bad beat stories from here, and there's going to be a lot of people who were very fortunate. You won't hear the ones who are fortunate admitting that nearly as much as you'll hear the bad beat stories and the folks who want to talk about those. If you head down to the bar here at Treasure Island tonight, there'll be a lot of bad beat stories over Basil Hayden's.
All right, the board is back up, it looks like.
Good.
And so now we can get a clear look. Going into this race, Edmund Tykt at 161.90 going into this last mandatory, and we'll see what this means.
Boy.
After the next update.
Pretty amazing. Robert Gilbert, a cap horse. No, not quite. Not quite a cap horse ahead, which is just remarkable. 289 as of, this is all as of mandatory 7. We'll have a new one soon. Helmers hanging tough in second, but there's a firing line in behind him. John Pinder and Tim Jacobs among them. Michael Marlaire, a name I don't think we've said yet on the show, in fifth with 220. Pete Osella, 219.60. Stefan Gravina, 218.40. Scott Fitzgerald, 211.70. Chris Littlemore, he'll be there tomorrow, looking to become the first ever two-time champion and to do it two on the bounce as well. 210.60 from him. And then in 10th place, a name I know I haven't said and a name I will probably mispronounce, Matthew Vagvolgi.
I saw that. We call that an eye chart.
That is a bit of an eye chart, and I'll hear it once and then I'll get it. But then I'm going to go with that one for now. 206.60, and let's zip down to the cut if this leaderboard behaves and tell you what we're looking at there. This is all going to change in short order. But yes, still as you pointed out, Steve, Edmund Tykt, 161.90 with Paul Matisse and the $500,000 entry just on the outside looking in at the last time we saw. We'll see if he can make his way in. Christopher Lika right around that cut line. Mike Mulvihill and the $1 million bonus also on the right side of that entry as of last seen. So we're going to get new information very soon here. Hopefully we can bring you up to date and follow along. What do we have, about five races left?
You got four at Golden Gate, 7 minutes away from the seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, and we've got the 10th and 11th at Santa Anita. So six races left.
Great.
Four and two.
Everything else is wrapped.
The total in here, 48.20, is the mutual from the winner here. And Platinum Warrior is going to be a favorite horse for a number of people. And let's go down, actually, Pete. I'm just curious. Let's subtract that cut line, 161 minus 50. So basically, about 113. Anybody that was at 113 that hits this horse gets themselves, depending on how many other leapfroggers there might be.
They'll be feeling pretty good. And, I mean, it was amazing. There was high fives on, 12 tables, it looked like, as that was going on. So I do expect to see some serious movement right around there.
Well, to give you an idea, if we go down to, let's say, let's go down to number 200. So that's 130, a group of 130. You talked about, the tightening and how tight it'll get and truncate here in these last, these last races. And so, there's 130 plus that are within the cap within this $48 mutual.
And I'm looking at some of the names right around that range. Ray Arsenault is there. That would certainly be interesting. This is kind of funny, too. Chris Littlemore, we talked about his entry in the top 10. His other entry at 123.40, that's probably the kind of number he should have been playing there. We could see him potentially with two in the semifinals. Weird coincidence. Randomly, Buddy Cianci came up before, and there's a John Cianci right in that range, too, 206th with 121. ATM, Anthony Matera, also a player in that range, 121. These are all folks, wouldn't surprise me one bit, if are now on the correct side of the cut line after that cap winner lands at Santa Anita. Ray, did you have that horse at Santa? Did you have the horse at Santa Anita? No, he did not. Unfortunately, Ray, not one of them. But, yeah, we should in just a couple minutes here have an updated leaderboard, and we can take a look both at the top end. What gets really interesting now, right around the cut line, to see the positioning that's going to happen. Still plenty of races left.
Listening for Keith's announcement. Making a, Nothing particular that he's involved in here. Sally Goodall trying to rally here at 137, sitting 140 plus.
Sally, wife of Rich Goodall, former champion and a contest player herself, who I feel like is here every year. Rich Goodall, another one of those names, wouldn't surprise me to see in the NHC Hall of Fame one day. A terrific, respected player by his peers.
Mike Bacek at 146.60 going into that mandatory.
Interesting.
So he needed a boost as well.
This is where it would be so great to know who played what. We could start figuring things out. That'd be fun. Fun idea for the future if after the race went off you could see the plays.
You know, David Porco had it early yesterday, was a fixture on the front end of the board, and has really been kept kind of at bay, has really kind of treaded water.
Not out of it yet, but that 150 not going to be enough to do it. We know that much for sure. Hopefully for his sake, he's got some optional plays left in these last few races at Santa Anita and Golden Gate.
I'm going to tell you somebody who has rallied today and still needs to get the ball over the goal line. Ed Peters, Fantini, longtime Derby trailer. Ed
Absolutely.
Had a very weak first day for him,
yeah.
And now has come charging 156. He was sitting 82nd.
I think he should thank me because we talked for about half an hour this morning in the coffee shop outside, and I think I changed his luck.
That's a possibility. That's a distinct possibility. Jim Bennis with one of his entries, 157.
Oh, very cool. Bennis, another former champ, and a proper pro player who's specializes these days. He's an Illinois guy, but he specializes in California racing these days. So I would imagine he's got bullets left for these last races at Santa Anita. Those are the horses he knows the best.
Do we know anything about John Pinder? He made a big run today.
No, I do not know John. I wonder if we have the media guide around here. Maybe there'll be some information. I'd love to look that up. But, yeah, he's had a very good tournament, and it looks like, I mean, he's a certainty to get the semis and is somebody else who looks well-positioned to make a run into the final table tomorrow.
Looking up at the board, 2 minutes to the seventh at Golden Gate, and we've got an 8-5 favorite. There was a scratch, so a six-horse field in that seventh at San Francisco, and this is a filly and mare, a low-level claimer. They're going 6.5. Meanwhile, Santa Anita will turn its attention to the 10th, which is a 16 claimer, but a 10-horse field. And there's a 2-1 favorite right now, Saratoga Morning.
Joe Corey stopping by to say hello. Talk to us for a minute, Joe. You still, are you drawing live in this tournament?
Unfortunately not.
That's too bad.
Unfortunately not. That was my last shot there. And yeah, well, we were between the 5 and 12, went with the 12. So
that stinks.
But yeah, it was still a reach anyway.
Where were you before? What do you end on then?
I'm only in the 80s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I was bombing at the end. I missed those Oaklawns, the back-to-back 4s at big
yep.
numbers. But it's always fun. Nice.
We're definitely always interested to talk to you because you're not just a contest player. You're a bit of a contest historian. You really follow the game and follow your fellow players. What are the storylines at this point you're the most interested in based on where the leaderboard is?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's always fun to follow the guys that have been here before and, you know, have done well before, like a Chris Littlemore. I saw him up there.
Yep, ninth at last we saw, yep.
Yeah, I didn't see the most recent update to see where.
We don't have. Oh, we just went up on the board.
Yeah, they just went up.
I haven't gotten it here on the computer. Steve
give us one over here.
Oh, Steve's taking a picture of us.
Yeah, you go.
Very nice.
Nice, nice.
I thought you were taking a picture of the leaderboard.
No.
Gilbert, 289. Littlemore in second now, 241. And Jim Meeks, which was a big
Gallo.
Story.
Randy Gallo.
Randy Gallo.
The forward, Oakland.
Randy Gallo.
Me.
And he must have hit the mandatory.
Hit too.
These scores have moved up significantly.
Yeah, I mean, there's been big prices since the previous update. So,
this is going to be a huge difference. Can't wait to get it on here. We'll give everybody the rundown. Now, the most interesting thing to me is where that cut line is. And it does look like, as Larmy predicted, I'm starting to think, oh, maybe it's not going to get past 175 after all. And now I'm starting to think first thought, best thought. But let's see. We're tied for 47th, and we're 55th is 182. And let's see. On the next screen, we should
Skiba get up to 55th.
Looking, Justin Mustari, the kid, 23 years old, at 180 and 64th from the World Horse Players Tour final table, 178.40, and it's going to keep
Larmy
going.
Larmy and Weiser right there.
Yeah, two serious players. How long have you must have known both of those guys forever?
Oh, yeah. Quite a long time. It's the same guys have been around now for quite a while.
Yep. Fun to see Justin Mustari up there. That's a great story.
I haven't met him, but
he's great. He's great. We had a lot of fun with him out at Santa Anita for the World Horse Players Tour, and he's been well mentored, and he's the kind of young blood we need. You know,
sure.
He might be in the running for the youngest player here.
What is he, 22?
I think he's 23. 23. He was 23 in May, so he could easily be 24.
Yeah.
But definitely among the young guns.
How is Paul doing? I saw Paul Matisse was up there. And my boy James Henry, I'm always for James.
Yes, James, another guy looking to do the Horse Player World
Paul
Series
has slipped.
Double.
Paul has slipped to 82nd, 171.20.
Wow. He had two that were are right in the hunt.
Yes.
He might have gone cold at the wrong time. But I wouldn't count him out. He knows California well and probably has some bullets left.
I tell you who's had what's got to be a frustrating day is Frank Magui.
Yeah, he was there for a while.
He was up there all day.
And now is sitting 105th and 164.40. Because he was really in an enviable position, and he felt great about just firing at whatever he liked.
Yeah, he could have played who he liked. And the truth is, he probably still can more or less play who he liked, especially for a guy who's not exactly known for the being a favorite lover. He's probably got a play or two left, but he's going to have to be right from here.
I see Lawrence called and made it up. You know, Lawrence was alive in the pick six. He singled the 50-1 shot in the last race.
In the last race.
He goes two deep in the first leg, hits the 50-1, and he singled to a 50-1 in the last race.
That is truly crazy.
But then he hit another bomb, and he's 196, so he should
he'll be good.
He should be good.
He'll skate in. His wife was at the final table one of these last couple of years.
Yeah, last year
Gloria.
She was in it. Gloria was in it last year.
And Lawrence I've known for a long time, friends with Brett Wiener and that crew.
Yep. I see Sarah Wiener's up there, too.
There you go.
Kenny Seaman, he's a stalwart. He's always up there.
Yeah, he has something. He has three, like, top 15 finishes, I think, in the NHC already. Yeah. And he very quietly has held his position throughout the entirety of the second day.
Yeah.
Tell me if you see any names up there who are people that you know that I might not know. I'm curious to get some more stories.
Well, Frank Drew, do you know Frank?
I do not.
Yeah, he's been around quite a while. He's a friend of the Matisse. He's been that Matisse table guy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't know how
New Yorker.
Sure we've met then.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, I'm just spacing. Speaking of the final table of the World Horse Players Tour, Tom Arndt is up there.
Nice.
Yeah, we're well represented with Skiba. What happened to Tony Joe? Has he gone cold?
He's gone cold. Last I saw, he had like 148. I don't know if he's moved at all.
168.80. So
he's still got a shot.
He's bubbling. Hopefully he's got some plays left.
Oh, there's Marshall, too. I wanted to mention him. Marshall
Graham. Marshall's great. Yeah. We had him on yesterday.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure to have him on. And he's another who's sort of quietly just, like, held his position.
Here's let's get the Golden Gate 7th and watch this group.
backstretch, Miss Pretty showing her customary early speed and has a clear advantage of a length and a half. Madame Moose in a good position right off the pace in second. Colonel Deering right behind her in third. Our Favorite City, fourth on the inside, 3.5 lengths off the pace, a gap of 3.5 more to Pepper Joe, and She's an Eagle with 3 furlongs to go. Miss Pretty being challenged by Madame Moose, who strides up a half length off of the pace setter as they approach the quarter pole, a gap of 3 to Our Favorite City being pushed along. Colonel Deering under the whip, not making up much ground. The other two have been outrun. Top of the stretch, Miss Pretty trying to go the distance. Madame Moose on the attack, though. These two sprint in the final furlong, and they're together. Inside Miss Pretty. Madame Moose is outside. Madame Moose trying to push past Miss Pretty. Our Favorite City is third. Then comes She's an Eagle, fourth. 100 yards left. Madame Moose hits the front, starts to shake clear, and that's 4 wins for the Jonathan Wong barn. Madame Moose at even money wins it from Miss Pretty. Our Favorite City third. Then came She's an Eagle, Colonel Deering, and Pepper Joe.
Even money favorite, and they're looked for a second, like a 10-to-1 shot. Our Favorite City might get up for a second, but no. So you got no real help there. Although, what happens in this setting at late like this when, you know, you might be just happy to get a little something to gird you?
Yeah, well, certainly the people that are right around the cut line, you know, I mean, if you need $6 or something,
that could be the difference.
Why wouldn't you
right
take
there?
An even money horse?
Yeah,
you know. Now the thing is, there's still a lot of races, quote unquote. Right? There's still 3 more at Golden Gate, and you still got, you know, I think two
it's,
more
it's
at Santa Anita,
10th right? and 11th.
So it might be a little early to be thinking cut line, taking even money. Depending
right.
on how
you'd have to love the horse, right?
If you have enough plays left, then yeah. then you know that might be different, but.
Right, at the end of the day, that horse, though, what that horse returns is going to be the difference between at least 10 spots on the leaderboard right around
sure.
the cut. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
not, if you love the horse, it's not crazy. You made a great observation, Joe, during the race about how impressed you were with the performances of our leader, Robert Gilbert, and Chris Littlemore, and even Christian, who've been at the top of the leaderboard throughout, more or less, given the prices we've seen today.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy to, when you're up there, to start to think shorter, you know, like, oh, I don't really need 15 to 1. I can look at, 5 to 1s, that kind of thing. And, you know, and so for those guys to continue to add on to their totals, you know, I mean, they're serious players, though. That's how they play, I'm sure. But, yeah, very impressive.
I'll tell you who's having a hell of a day. Cheryl Taella, who is now at 230.80 and had 15 coming into the day. Has
wow.
put up 200,
15.
15. I think that's what Keith just said. So, I mean, a $215 day. I mean,
wow.
Must
wow.
just 3 cappers or something. I mean, that's just totally crazy. Do you know Cheryl?
I do not.
Yeah,
I do not.
How about John Pinder? That's another name who's been up there. Who
yeah,
I
know the name, but I don't know. Cheryl's name I've seen online a lot, too, but I don't know her either.
What is your what's going on with you and horse racing right now? Last time we talked, you were doing more in the arena of sports than horses. Has the pendulum swung back? Or
yeah, well, you know, with the NHC coming up, and you know, I'll play the Horse Player World Series, so back into horses a little bit. You know, plus with the football season wound down, and I mean, I'll gear it back up for March Madness, the sports side, but. Yeah, still feeling my way to where, how I want to chart out how I'm going to play this year, you know, whether it be the NHC or tournament-wise, where to put the concentration. And I enjoy playing pick fives and the pick six carryover you had to play, but mostly the pick fives is, where I'm, where I think I'm going to chart out my cash play.
That's interesting. I mean, you get the low takeout and you get a lot of action, right?
Yeah. So
I just sometimes when I get into a spell where I'm playing a lot of those longer pick bets, it's just I feel like it's just hard because the potential for losing streaks is so great. Mentally, how do you deal with that when you're mostly playing a bet where the strike rate is lower?
Yeah, I think you know, I think it always comes down to having confidence, right? And so you're right. Dealing with the long droughts on the strike rate is a big thing to get through. You know, my bigger problem on pick fives is I'm always looking, and I always want to be Chad Brown out of a race or Navarro or, you know, those kind of guys.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, and so that's what leads to the longer droughts.
Yes.
You know, and the
yes.
and the frustration. But, you know, when you hit one, it's all it takes is to hit one that,
it only
you
takes
know, makes
one.
It makes a difference.
Where did you qualify for this event?
At the Monmouth Pick Your Prize.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the Monmouth contest, and they're a terrific place to try to qualify for this event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean, they give away 20 seats. You know, it's really gotten a lot of people from out of town coming in.
It's worth traveling to, for sure, yeah. from around the country.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And the hospitality is really good.
Sure.
Monmouth is fun.
And he's talking about adding a tournament on Sunday as well, so that
that helps,
you know,
for travel.
Helps with the travel.
Justifies
guys.
It for coming in, for sure.
Yeah.
And whether, I mean, there's plenty of good stuff to eat and drink down there, and then of course your that lovely boat ride from New York. I had a fun story. JK was visiting, and we went down. I guess it was to the Pick Your Prize, and we had his little boy Austin, and we had Perrin, and we just timed it so perfectly because we took the boat back at the time we got. The sunset and the Statue of Liberty, and it was just the perfect, like, you could get a tourist to pay thousands of dollars for this boat ride we took for 12, and that was Austin's first trip to New York.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, I think we've made a New York fan for life now. I felt like I had done my job as a representative of my city on that day.
There you go. You got JK now, an adjunct New Yorker, I guess, right?
He likes it. Well, he's going to be here more and more. You know, he's part of the Naira show now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get used to him.
He was really good on the Fox
thing.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, the same deal, yeah.
Yeah,
he
was really good on there.
I'm going to get used to him sleeping in my basement, I think.
Of course, his head might get fat. But, you know.
Oh, that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, that happened
ago.
A while ago.
That happened a while ago. One thing he does not lack for is confidence, that's for sure. But we're having so much fun on this new show, and I just think we got to delete this from the archive because I don't want him ever to hear it. But I just think his energy is so good for us and the things we need to do in this game.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. Yeah, he brings a whole different perspective. He brings a whole different perspective from a lot of perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, but particularly his inclination to bet lots of money on short priced horses. You know, and. And it's just contrary to the way a lot of guys approach the game, and you know, contrarian does well.
It takes all kinds,
and, you know.
And, you know, he's not doing that indiscriminately. He's doing that in context, whether it's with a well-written bet to try to get equity back that way, or in the context of a contest where you can have one of his 4-to-5s really be worth. Can turn a 4-to-5 into a 14-to-1
right.
at the end of some of these
right.
contests. So it's an interesting way of going about it. It's not for everybody, and I would always say, you know, don't try it at home. But it makes for interesting listening, and I do think people can learn a lot from what he's got to say.
Well, and certainly to the point of getting there, you know, he's always in position to launch at the end, and
yeah.
so I find that impressive just in itself. I'm like. Maybe I'll do that just to get to that point and then not launch it like he does quite as aggressively.
But. Yeah, we talk all the time about the gambling personality. For you, what is your preferred format? And include everything in here, online, live bank, what I call the Vegas format, these multiple track mythical $2 win place. Where are you the most comfortable?
Yeah, I think despite my lack of success here at the NHC, I think it's this. The $2 win place, and I've kind of gone around in a circle. But, I mean, the truth is, you know, when you look at the Pegasus, which was, you know, a great tournament, money added, you know, blah, blah, blah. In the end, it still took, you know, when Gino goes from a $23,000 lead.
Hits
the last race for 20,000.
And loses seven
and
spots.
Loses
by 50.
That's a flaw. Yeah. Now, you know me, and I've talked about it, and I'm genuine in what I say. I love the contest. I love the money ad. And you can't complain too much because the money's added. But from a game theory point of view, that's a broken contest.
Yeah, it's the least handicapping, in my view, you know, it's the most random kind of thing. It's a one-race contest,
right,
of positioning
contest
to get to one race so that who is willing to, you know, bet way more than they would otherwise on combinations that they wouldn't otherwise.
So you're you're a smart guy. I'm assuming I'm not putting you on the spot. You've probably thought about this. What is your preferred way to try to fix that in the live bankroll format? And I can start. I can give you some of my ideas, and I can
go
bounce
ahead,
them
why
off
you.
One thing would be cut lines. Another thing would be just trying to make players earn the right to be there at the end by having to bet much more early on. Those are two ideas that come to mind.
Paul Matisse had the other night, we were talking at dinner, and his suggestion, him and John Nichols. John Nichols, I think, has actually forwarded this. You cannot bet more in the nightcap than the biggest bet you've made over the course of the day.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's brilliant game theory, but they'll never do it because of churn. They'll never limit the amount you can bet in the last race because they want every dollar.
Well, sure. but they might churn. They might get more if everybody
might churn
knows.
More early.
Yeah, if people have to, instead of sitting on their bankroll all day long, if somebody in an early race
could be.
sees a place to bet 4,000, now they know that's their benchmark.
You have to do it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It has to do with, and it also plays into your own style.
That's right.
It's great game theory. No
really
doubt
clever.
About that. Yeah, that's very good. I'm
yeah,
sure
I think it is.
Those guys love the game, the players committee for that. I'm sure they see what we see, and I'm sure they're going to try to do something to prevent that.
What do we see in this ninth or tenth race at Santa Anita? Any thoughts?
Did you look at this one, Joe?
I did look at it. I don't remember it.
Can't say that I blame you for that. It's a long day here grinding in the ballroom. We are looking at a full field of 10. Tanner's Pride, the 1. Zippy Groom, the 2. Number 3, Crazy Uncle Rick. Number 4, Neighborhood Bully. Number 5, Saratoga Morning, great name. Number 6, Rhett Butler, another pretty fun name. Number 7, Candy Zip. Number 8, Shifty Dancer. Number 9, Honeymoon's Over. And number 10, Hollywood Dancer. Did you have any inclination here?
No, I mean, what I do normally is look at the last races to make sure I have an idea. And if I need short or if I need long, I've got something that, you know, I'm thinking about. I mean, I had Rhett Butler if I needed a bomb. He's 45-1, so he would have fit the category.
There you go.
Yep, that's
like
a bomb, one, all right.
The one would have been my play, though, if I, you know, if I was in the market for, you know, a small to medium price, that's where I would have went.
Randy's laughing about something.
Yeah, he's always laughing at me.
I think you make a good pundit. Don't let him bully you. We'll go take care of him in a minute. Starting
yeah.
to load here. Well, Rhett Butler would certainly turn things over once again here. Ballroom's still pretty full. I bet there's a lot of bullets going to fly here, knowing that it's such a popular track and a big full field.
And a couple
well,
of other.
It's the last rate. Well, no, there's one
there's
more.
There's one more
at Santa.
But it's a. But you got a. You
but
got.
You got a nice full. Field
nice full
to play
field
into.
Here, exactly. Although there's 12, they got. Were there scratches in that nightcap? There were 12 in the nightcap. There's 10 in here. Your favorite is Honeymoon's Over. George Papapodromo sending out a favorite. 2-1 with Pratt. And then you look at 3-1 on Saratoga Morning. Doug O'Neill with Bayerano. And how about 6-1 on Tanner's Pride and Zippy Groom, the 1 and the 2. Coroner and Bob Hess, we're ready.
Crazy Uncle Rick, Shifty Dancer, Candy Zip is up close. Honeymoon's Over on the outside. They're really scrambling, and now Candy Zip puts his head in front. Tanner's Pride is coming through, and so now Tanner's Pride is the leader from Candy Zip to the half-mile pole. It is the leader from Candy Zip to the half-mile pole. Honeymoon's Over is in third. Crazy Uncle Rick, Saratoga Morning between those two. Then Shifty Dancer, 5 lengths off the lead, passed by Hollywood Dancer. Another 2 back to Rhett Zippy Groom even further. They're coming to the quarter pole. Tanner's Pride is the leader by a half length. They're coming to the quarter pole. Tanner's Pride is the leader by a half length. Candy Zip, second. Honeymoon's Over, third. Saratoga Morning between horses. Crazy Uncle Rick, Hollywood Dancer on the outside as they straighten away for home. And Tanner's Pride goes on, trying to shrug off Candy Zip. He's in front a length and a half. Saratoga Morning, Crazy Uncle Rick are chasing. They're coming to the half behind. And it's Tanner's Pride. Took a lot of heat and will take him all the way to the length and a half behind. And it's Tanner's Pride. Took a lot of heat and will take him all the way to the wire. Second to Candy Zip. Then it was Saratoga
Candy
Morning
Zip,
in front of Crazy
one.
Uncle
yeah,
Rick.
Yeah, that was wow.
Screw.
And looked like very live to win at a couple of different stages there. Actually gallops out the best. But the one holds on at 5-1.
Well, and even 5-1, there might have been nothing wrong with about a $17 probably worth of mutual here.
Well, and there's a whole bunch of guys that are right that are going to be right in that needing a 5-1 shot range, right?
Trying to pick a winner and just get up and either protect where they are on the right side of the cut line or get in out of the cold. So we will probably.
You know, the interesting thing always about this is, you know, you try hard and you want to play around the cut line, but the truth is, it's really about getting to the final table, you know, and so just being at the cut line is not a great place. I mean, it's better than where I'm at, right? I'm not saying that. But you know, when you have a day good enough to get there, like, you want to get yourself in position to make a move to the final table.
You can make a case that somebody in those cut line positions, from an EV point of view, should still be reaching pretty darn long, given how much of the money is at the top here. I don't think many who can do that. I think it's very hard not to say, chip in a chair, I got to be in it to win it, let me get across. But I'll say this, if I were torn between a shorter price and a longer price, and I'm in that cut position, I still go with the longer price, because maybe you back one like the 7 there, and you get a place cap, and
right.
you get, you know, 2 birds, 1 stone in that sense.
Yep.
In a big full field. So
1-7-5-3 is your order of finish in the 10th. And Brian Corner and Joe Talamo here with Tanner's Pride and Candy Zip, 30-1. Tanner's Pride, 5-1. And the favorites were really nowhere really to be seen, actually. There wasn't money. There wasn't a call. And we'll see what this does on mutuals, because I would think that the place prices should be a little juicy.
Yeah, they should be A-okay. Definitely going to. And that's the other thing is, like, we're at a point now at that cut line. The breakage matters. The 10s and the 20s. I mean, that's gonna edge somebody's going to have a horrid bad beat story.
20 cents will decide somebody moving on or not.
That could be 3 spots.
Yeah.
Here you go. 12-8, 25-20 for the place price.
Place
wow.
capper.
How about
that's
that?
A capper, right, $22.
Yep. How about that? And 12-80 and 760, so 20-40. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
I can't wait to see this. I wonder if they will. With all the time between, we might see another update, right?
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think.
Did you say another update?
Another leaderboard
Usually
update.
Usually they don't. Usually the last mandatory,
then
but we've
hold?
Never had. I don't remember there ever being this many races.
Yeah, this is unusual. Too. This is definitely unusual to have. I mean, we still have. Do we not still have 3 at Golden?
But see, like, that would be a good horse for where Marshall sitting, for example. He was at like 221. Like, you know, if he has bullets left, you know, you're looking to move your way up to get yourself in position now for.
Three races remain. Actually, I take that back. 3 at Golden Gate and
1 at Sands.
So 4,
there's 4
remain.
Yeah, there's still 4.
Yeah. So we've got. We'll go to at least 8:30. Is the last at Santa Anita.
What's another hour? We can do it.
Unbelievable.
we'll go. I'll go around and start recruiting. Well, I can start recruiting some people too. Make some others talk for a while here, but thank you, Joe, for coming.
I've been a
by.
Bug off. I appreciate the
Joe,
wonderful,
hospitality. Wonderful to have you. Putting up a picture. And
thank you, my friend.
Overdue pleasure.
Absolutely.
Joe Corey.
One of the good guys, and like I said, really a historian and a big fan, Steve, a very loyal At the Races listener as well. It's always good to have those folks on. What do you think the odds are of our getting Justin Dew? He looked like too amped up to talk to us or something when he walked
by. Was, you know, Justin Dew is wound awfully tight. Okay, let me for those of you that do not know him,
I don't know him that well. I mean, I've talked to him a few times.
My relationship with him goes back to his days working at Churchill, and when I did what I could to extricate him from a internet controversy.
Oh dear,
where he. Picked a couple of wrong maybe picked the wrong adjective in describing the morning efforts of a major principal in that year's Derby. that being hard spun.
And, oh dear!
I tell you what, it's a good thing it happened then and not now, because
social media.
Now somebody would have come on to the track and killed him, because it would have been such a horrific offense, and it would have been viewed with such terror and horror.
He did not like the way the horse worked, or something.
He used
a poor adjective.
Yes, the vitriol, even back then, when there wasn't the ammunition for vitriol that you have now, was a little over the top. And but he did manage to he persevered. He weathered the storm. That's when he and Michelle Yu were doing a lot. The early
Who
social
do
media.
You like? Who do you like? That was the segment, wasn't it?
I don't remember
I
that.
Think that's what it was. I talked to him right when he launched LoneSpeed.com, and it was a very good interview, and I've enjoyed reading his pieces. We talked about the one on air. His story of qualifying for this event while juggling child care was something that I know many horse players can relate to. Family obligations, and I think he eventually got kicked out of the daycare center for rooting too loud or something.
He told a great story about using the Wi-Fi at like a Chuck E. Cheese's, standing outside they were closing. It was like it was 7 o'clock, and he was on either Horse Players or Horse Tourneys. I think Horse Tourneys, and they're pushing him out the door, but he had to stand close enough to the glass doors and hold the laptop so that he could pick off the Wi-Fi.
That's great. He stands at 195.80. That's 33rd. He will be playing tomorrow. Maybe we should check in with some of the other folks who've come by, who listeners have gotten to know today. Chris Larmy, 179.60. As of that eighth mandatory.
He's sitting all right.
Hopefully
needs a little boost.
One more little jump from him would probably be good. Who else did we have? Who have we had on who might be in the mix? Paul Sherman is getting very near that cut line, 176.50. He's on the wrong side of it at the moment, actually, even with that strong score. But I know him. He might have a bullet left for every mandatory. He is a huge believer in saving until the end. So I would think that he, even though he's on the outside looking at the moment, still has a big shot.
Yeah, Stephen Simonovic. I rode down in the elevator with him this morning and asked him how he did, and he was sort of ambivalent that he hadn't had a good day day one. He's come flying. There's a lot of new names on this in this roster.
No better story on day two so far than Cheryl Tayala, who apparently, if I heard Keith Wright, started the day with 15. She now has 230 and is in fifth, or sixth, excuse me.
Unbelievable.
Last we saw you. And that was Joe's point also about, you know, all the more props to Gilbert, to Littlemore, to Helmers, for staying, to be able to be in the top 10 and stay in the top 10 on a day when you have more than half a dozen cap horses land. It's very, very impressive.
Gilson Fonts, who's sitting right in front of us, he had rushed up the board and now has kind of settled back down. He's sitting 68.
Ooh, what do they call that? There was a mean name in sports when you just missed the bubble. Hopefully that will not be the case. Hopefully he's added some points back and will be on the right side of the line.
I see Richard Scott Coles, and he's got, of course, the presidential assassin thing going for him with the three names.
I do not know who he is, but I will always remember him now, though I will try not to refer him that way in print.
Well, there was a couple of other names and of course, you know, we should mention that our leader, you know, is the player with two first names.
We have Robert Gilbert.
Robert Gilbert. Yep. And where that line particularly lives, have you ever seen Garbo Talks?
I have not.
Oh, you should see Garbo Talks.
I will take it under advisement. Anne
Bancroft is a impossible to live with mother, and Ron Silver is the son, the kind of nebbishy son, and with Stephen Hill plays the estranged father, and there is a couple of references to the men with two first names.
That's great.
Way predating Seinfeld. Yeah. I'm sure that's where Jerry, Larry David got it. Yes, from Garbo Talks about how when the two parents go to get their license, their marriage license, she refused to take it because the guy had two first names. Doesn't trust people with two first names.
Well, wouldn't trust our leader, but what a day he's had. Still just pouring it on at the top of the leaderboard. Oh, here's somebody else who stopped by. Bobby Shoemaker, 176. So outside looking in, but in position if he's got the bullet. I don't see him over there. I'd love to get the update from him. That'd be a fun one to follow. It might be nice to have a player or two. We can know what they're doing for the cut line race so folks can root along. For them, unfortunately, we won't have all the information. Gosh, that would be an improvement. Maybe one day we can get there where we can have that in real time like we have at the final table through the magic of the website. I'm looking for somebody else to button hook. I'm not seeing any of our regulars.
We've got the eighth race coming up in a minute at Golden Gate. And a quick glance at this group. Let's look at, we got a 9-5 favorite in here. And boy, my, you know it's late when your screen on your ADW starts filling in with harness tracks. when you have to jump over Batavia and so forth, Yonkers and Buffalo and more. All right, gracious me, Blaine Wright. 9-5 is your favorite, and beyond that, 7-2 on Maysong. Ed Moger, 7-2 second choice. Then it gets up to 9-2. Plum Wild, Bob Hess, senior, not Bob Hess Jr. Bob Hess senior up north, and 9-2 on Plum Wild, the rail horse. After that, how about Listen to Blue, 4-1 for Jim Cassidy with his Golden Gate string. This is a Heat Shield filly. And after that, it's all double digits.
Listen to Blue looks pretty live, I think. Should be in a good spot early, not too far back, and has some finish. But a lot of different ways you can go here.
And then 15 minutes to the Santa Anita nightcap. 11 races. They layered them on thick today at the Stronach Group. 11 at Santa Anita, 12 at Gulfstream, and 10 at Golden Gate. And Laurel, what did Laurel have today? Did they have 9 or 10?
They had a chock-a-block day, clearly focusing on these Saturdays. And this, yeah, I mean, it's
Saturdays.
So
they ran 12 yesterday at Gulfstream.
Well, that's crazy. The amount of races they can carve.
Oh,
down
the employees
there.
Love it. They love coming in at 9:30 and staying until 8:30. Everybody loves that.
Madness.
That's it.
But I just can't believe we have three more Golden Gate races. I mean, I said we were here for another hour. Is it actually long? It's got to be. Isn't it longer than that?
5:28 Pacific is the last post for race 10 at Golden Gate Fields. Golden Gate Fields and. Just about post time. Ronnie, sit Ron Flatter down.
Excellent. We'll bring you in after the. Are we going to watch this race at Golden Gate first, or is there another?
Oh, you can say hello.
You can certainly say hello
to Ron.
Ron, what's happening? You enjoying your time here at the NHC?
I am. The Barry Kerbel story was quite fun.
That's cool.
It?
That's cool. Did you
nice
roll some tape?
Those.
You're going to use that for
actually for the for what I'm writing. I'm writing for today and tomorrow on our website,
awesome.
VSiN.com.
Awesome.
Shameless plug.
Well, and tell everybody because you're now you made the move. You're part of the Vegas Sports Information Network here on SiriusXM, and tell everybody that may not know about it.
Just a few channels away from you, Steve.
Yeah.
On channel 204, Brent Musburger is our anchor man, although he's on vacation, I think, climbing volcanoes in Hawaii or something like that.
Really?
You're subbing. You're in his chair, aren't you?
I'm in his chair for Monday through Friday right now, so they've taken leave of their senses and let me run the thing. But we're all about gambling news, and so we're like, you know, the Bloomberg or CNBC of sports gambling. And
Very cool.
I mean, we're more about the information than we are about, you know, trying to do hot takes and things like that. And that's what we do. And then I've got I do horse racing. I've got the Ron Platter Racing
as
Pod.
Well. Yep. I was very pleased to be a guest this week.
Where you were just on. Steve's been a guest. I had him on in August.
Awesome.
I think it was before the Travers, if I remember right.
Might be.
Right around then. And so, yeah, I've this is pretty cool. I feel like I've arrived now that I'm on an At the Races special. So
there
this
you go.
By the way, you know what you guys are doing here. You're Pete. You're a broadcast historian. Interrupt me if you got a race, by the way.
No, no, they're going
they're
to the
still
boat.
Milling around. It's this Golden Gate, but until they're ready to jump, we got time.
Track, right? Yeah. So anyway,
yeah, exactly.
So, 71 years ago, the 1948 political conventions were first time on TV, and television was such like a glowing light that the politicians would come up to the anchor booth to talk to whoever was anchoring, you know, Robert Trout or whoever it was. So it's almost like the same thing here. We're all coming to you guys rather than you having to, like, go to floor reporters and wander to the tables. This is pretty cool. It's a little bit of a throwback.
Now it's our fifth year doing this, and we were, to be honest, Casey and I didn't know what to expect when we started it. And the reception was, just an avalanche of appreciation. People just enjoyed the being able to get a taste of the atmosphere.
Sure.
And then it's just the excitement. I mean, it just builds up, and we're obviously going to sit through these next three races, and then we'll know where we stand going into tomorrow. But the opportunity to talk about so many different topics, and then also there's the cast of industry people that that will sit down and we'll discuss things with.
Sure.
So there's there's industry topics ripped from today's headline. There's contest play as we've had with contest players, backgrounds and the ways people approach the game. It's just it's a natural and it's infectious.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the energy in this room is something. My first year was last year, and I couldn't get over it. And I've talked to a few colleagues who were here for the first time, and they were wondering, is this going to be sitting around a lot? And I go, no. You're going to find a lot of great stories in this room. Not the least, which, by the way, our mystery leader, are we hearing that he's dropping all his bets before the day begins and then bolting into the wilds of Las Vegas? Is this what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas kind of an attitude?
That's the first time hearing that. I know he's a proper horse player. It surprised me if he wasn't grinding somewhere. Probably must just be going up to his room to play there. But if you know what you're going to play, you might as well, keep whatever he's doing, it's working. I'll say that.
By a little bit of a margin, by a few lengths.
He's got a big lead going into tomorrow. No matter what happens behind here, we're getting ready with them behind the gate at Golden Gate. And we're going to take Matt Dinnerman's call. And we'll see what happens here with a fairly short-priced favorite, still maintaining the public's support. 2-1 on both the 2 and the 7, actually, now. May Song, the Ed Mosier. Now 9-5 favorite, the Mosier May Song, with Alejandro Gomez. Gracious Me, 2-1, the Blaine Wright trainee with Juan Hernandez. And just about set, Frank Lucarelli with a big, big
and
price.
They're off. May Song being sent for the front. Gracious Me moving forward to be close to the pace. Anniversary Rose away running in third. Eagle Ease back and forth with Plum Wild down on the inside in the yellow jacket. A break of two to Listen to Blue with Believe Me Just Watch. And Miss Bravo's at the back of the pack. Nine lengths off the pace as they approach the half-mile pole. May Song on an uncontested lead shows the way by a length and a half. Anniversary Rose and Gracious Me stride for stride a joint second. And then comes Plum Wild down on the inside fourth. Two lengths off the pace as they hit the far turn. Eagle Ease is next, a half length off the aforementioned rival. A space of two to Listen to Blue under a ride. Believe Me, Just Watch under pressure too. And Miss Bravo, the long shot at the back of the field as they approach the quarter pole. May Song still in command by a length and a half. Anniversary Rose being shaken up to go. Gracious Me looking for a way through on the inside. Nowhere for her to go. She's still trying to angle off the rail coming off the turn. Then comes Plum Wild down the stretch. May Song, Gracious Me finds daylight, and Plum Wild adding blinkers today, running big. Plum Wild outside, Gracious Me between rivals, and May Song. It's Plum Wild who hits the front, and Plum Wild enables Cedillo score by two. May Song second, Gracious Me third, then Anniversary Rose, and fifth was Listen to Blue.
The Bob Hess Senior trainee, 7-2.
How many times have I said middle of the track today?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking middle of the track, middle of the track. Closers, it's happening over and over and over and over again. But there you go. I mean,
that was the third choice, as it turns out. And then I think we had, I think the two ended up second. Stay close by. I'm sorry, Jason Beam's going to join us in a minute.
Oh,
and we had a surprise visit. Vercruzzi showed up out of nowhere. It was like he was beamed into the ballroom.
Beamed.
Literally. We'll get the result here, 1-7-2-5. 1-7-2-5. Plum Wild 7-2, Maesong 9-5, and basically, you know, the Tapita. You watch the Tapita, the way horses finish. It's just there's no explosion. It's just a grind it out. Yeah, sure, grab that. There's just no explosion on the synthetic.
I have strong opinion on this, Steve, because I used to, when the Golden Gate job was open, I started practicing announcing there, and I would watch the replays. There's a ton of little weird moves throughout these races on the Tapita surface. And like you said, there's not a lot of quick moves, but they happen differently throughout a race. The races just flow different. And I've seen it at Presque Isle as well. You'll see those big 12-horse fields. On a dirt track, they often will string out, and they kind of stay in that order. A couple moves will start from the back around the 3/8. But it seems like on the synthetic, they do... It's just different. It's hard to explain, but yeah, you don't see the lightning moves. They pull away.
It almost seems like with dirt you can dig in and then it's going to give something back, but on the synthetic it's just sort of a, I don't want to say mushy or powdery or whatever it is. Somebody once described it as it feels like the insides of what you get in the vacuum bag at the end of the day or something.
Hmm. I wonder if I wonder if some of it too is just that horses aren't getting as tired on it, because they tend to not go as fast fractions. And Matt Dinnerman's told me this before. He goes, there's times when they'll go 51 and change, and they'll close from last to win. He goes, it's not like dirt races, and so I wonder if they just stay on better.
You know, we don't talk about it as often as we did during the synthetic era, but you know, there was such a difference. Each composition had its own personality, whether it was the polytrack and the cushion ride and so on, some of the other ones from Europe, fiber sand, and every single one had its own personality, and humidity and moisture and sun and shade.
Melting point, remember that was an issue for a while?
Remember Remington, the first one they had there eons ago, and it would get gooey and gummy, and it... The pro ride that they had at Santa Anita for the 2 years that the Breeders' Cup was on that surface, the first year was very bouncy. The horses looked like they were, you know, had little springs in their feet.
Yep.
The second year was kind of gummy. And I remember some of the photographers down by the trackside. Well, in fact, the great line was from Ed Fontaine, who used to be, of course, you
the
know,
great
used
Ed
to
Fontaine.
Be right in turf in New York. And he said he used to refer to it as the rubber stew.
Well, I had a very funny exchange with Jerry Jam, Jam Gochian, and he heard me talking about, you know, they had that issue that they had it, I think, at Del Mar and at Turfway, the jelly cable, what they called the jelly cable, which was sort of the surfactant or builder that held the stuff together. And they had some issue. And when Jerry called me, and he said, I just named a horse Jelly Cable. And she was actually a nice little filly. She flirted with stakes, and I became a big fan. And that was the fun. He thought that was the greatest, a Jelly Cable. We learned all kinds of new terminology. But, you know, it's funny because you look at Turfway Park, and Turfway... They'll rally. They come flying from off the pace, and they, you know, they've got the clouds of that get kicked up, and the horses have a tendency to really string out at Turfway. That's one of its characteristics.
I called a jockey agent buddy of mine over there once, and I said, is the rail dead or something? He goes, none of these guys would know. They've never been on it.
Exactly.
And you see them coming from far out there. But another track that kind of like Golden Gate, like it just. I just have never had a feel for how those races shape up there. There's horses that look loaded that don't fire. There's horses that kind of look done, and not just win, but open up. And so it's peculiar.
And remember when Del Mar had it, it would be very different in the morning.
Yeah, that was
from
the,
what
absolutely.
It was in the afternoon.
Well, the tides, and this is even true on dirt. The tides will affect, well, yeah. At Aqueduct, we have that in Jamaica Bay. And depending on high tide, low tide, you'll get a very different surface. Absolutely. Same thing, even Del Mar with the dirt. But it was really pronounced in the mornings when it was tight and cool and damp. And then in the afternoons when the sun would come out and bake it, it would become completely torpid. And just, watching those horses come home. Remember the come home times?
Yeah.
They were insane. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Like yeah.
Well, and then it fed into jockey mentality,
yeah.
Which is, I'm going to be the guy that makes the last move.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And so they were all just waiting and waiting and looking at each other. It became unwatchable.
It turned into turf racing.
It was unbelievable. That would have been preferable. That was a brutal. That was one of the strangest. Nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
And frankly, Keeneland managed to sneak out the back without ever being really taking responsibility for what they did, because they foisted it on the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we've divested ourselves. Oh, you've divested ourselves. You've cost the industry God knows how much money installing this nonsense. And where are we now?
Yeah. I remember a lot of breeders got pissed because they had started breeding.
Of course.
I stole your spot.
Don't get me started on that.
I do have one question, and I'll give you the mic back. But I have just one quick question. What does this trifecta pay?
Oh, this one came to. So what about the superfecta? There you go.
And by the way, speaking of dollars, well-defined at William Hill, which is the only place we can find Derby futures here in town right now, dropped from $125 to $75, $125 to $75-1 to win the Derby with that win today in the Sam F. Davis.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm very happy for Kathleen O'Connell. Look forward to talking to her Monday. And certainly he righted the ship. I didn't think Kentucky Wildcat ran badly, just the way the race unfolded.
And the van off with him.
Yeah, he got hurt.
He was banned off with a knee problem that doesn't, according to Marty McGee at the Daily Racing Form, is not life-threatening, but it was just a bad knee. And
the slab
fracture. We'll see about going forward.
No,
that's too bad, because that was actually an encouraging finish. No,
absolutely.
To finish second in that race.
I hate hearing that, because I was happy for Albert Trondi to get a horse. All right, well, I appreciate that update, and... meanwhile, what else went on today that, from a racing standpoint, that caught eyes?
To be honest, I was you start watching the tournament when Heart to Heart was running. At some point during the tournament, if you're not paying attention to your program, it just becomes the sixth race attempt.
Exactly.
Halfway through, somebody goes, oh, this is the stake. And I'm just like, oh, God. I've been talking to players all day and just kind of, hearing their thoughts, where they're at. This is such a moving day, the golf tournament analogy. And so it's really, really interesting to see how people are approaching it. And the vibe changes these last three races. First of all, the bar line, I noticed, got a lot longer the last hour, because some people
yes.
are just out. And it's been really interesting to kind of watch how all that transpired.
$9.20 and $4, by the way, for Plum Wild. So $13.20 combined. They're making their way up the hill for the Santa Anita Nightcap. This is going to be Phillies, Calbreds, Maiden Special. You got a group of 12. They're all going. Nobody came out.
I was impressed again with Bellafina today.
She worked. She had to work at it. She worked for that.
Yeah, she did. She was pressed late. The Baffert filly, whose name I'm forgetting right now.
Mother.
I was seeing, as I was watching that, they were running 1-2 on the backstretch, and I kept thinking, if Baffert can beat Bellafina, considering ownership relationships and whatnot, that wouldn't that be an interesting sidebar story? But it didn't work out that way, and so Bellafina, nice checking of the box there, but working for it and still responding. So that was an interesting race there. For a 1-9 favorite.
Among the maiden and allowance set toward the Derby Trail, who is this week's darling? Is Global Campaign better than Hidden Scroll?
I will deconstruct whatever is said. Go ahead.
No. I'm always so leery to jump on those horses with the big wins like that. It's just, I don't know. I'm never in a hurry to pronounce the Derby winner. I'm happy to wait till April to really get too tied on to all that.
I wrote about this last week. I feel like Hidden Scroll is the Freedom Child of 2019. Now, maybe more, certainly more talented, but Freedom Child goes and runs away, wins the Peter Pan, and he's supposed to be a layup in the Belmont. He wound up finishing way up the track, finished last in the Jim Dandy, and never raced again. So, to me, the eye candy on a sloppy track first time out, I look askance at it. Now, you know, justify was justify. I'm very careful about these things. Let's see what happens coming back. But I was not going to be too blown away, even, you know, with a big buyer number. That's fine. We'll see. We'll see what happens on a dry track.
He was this performance today, I thought, was really efficient. I mean, he just was as relaxed as could be and virtually never asked a global campaign. And I'm excited to have Stan Huff back on the scene.
It seems like there's a number of kind of smaller barns that are getting shots with some decent horses so far this trail, which
always great.
Which is, to me, it makes the discussion a lot more fun because it just, you know, I think California Chrome is still one of the coolest stories we've had in the last 10 years. I mean, I know it kind of went divergent a little bit there after a while, but it's always neat when people get real big cracks at their first Derby.
Well, it blew the turn. There's no doubt.
I feel like maybe it blew the gallop out because they got there.
By the way. I talked to Coburn. I'm going to have him on the podcast. Guess what he still thinks?
Oh, no.
The Triple Crown? Yeah. He's going to maintain that? All right. He's actually very nice.
I got to sit with him at Golden Gate. He was so excited about his new maiden, you know, 12-5 horse that he had. Like, he does love the thing. I mean, but, you know, he's a little bananas.
And look, California Chrome allowed him to retire.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at this lineup here as we head to the gate and the nightcap at Santa Anita. They're going to come down the hill, which is always fun. Scarlet Heat, an unusual heat for Dan Blacker. Joel Rosario aboard for Mrs. Arback, and that's your 2-1 favorite. Pete, did you look at this?
Well, no, but I had a piece of info I wanted to pass along, which is that we talked to Bobby Shoemaker before. He does have a bullet left, and he is firing it on the Doug O'Neill runner here. I believe that's the number 11. So if you want a route in the Santa Anita race and you're not betting yourself, Bobby's super nice guy. That's one way to go.
I just talked to Bobby. He was saying he had two horses he was between. He was going to take whatever the bigger price was.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But that does leave it open that he could spin back the other way. But he told me,
this was 20 minutes ago. This was before the odds came up. I just talked to him.
Well, and the horse was 10, now 7.
7-1 on Settle It with Mario Gutierrez. This is a Redham product. Not surprisingly, and a couple of the other numbers further outside, and of course doesn't hurt to be outside coming down the hill. Jim Cassidy sends out Asa Espinoza on Duran Pearson's Stylin' Ocean, 5-1. How about Shanghai Barbie? This is a Shanghai Bobby for Neil Drysdale. 19-1, 12-1 morning line, actually. A horse that took no money, Ruby Bradley, a Grazin 4-1 morning line, 12-1 currently for Ruby Bradley, the 7 with Joe Talamo. This is a Phil D'Amato trainee. Carla Gaines, Lucky Lately, 11-1 for the Harris family. You got a couple of monster prices, 30, 68, 57, 85. Here we go. Nightcap from the Great Race Place. Here, let me get another. There we go.
They're in the gate. And they're off. Settle It is the first one out of the gate and sent along with a one-length lead. Winter Break is coming through along the inside to challenge, and they're going at a quick tempo through the opening stages. Spanish Channel is in third. Shanghai Bobby is fourth, racing on the inside of Stylin' Ocean. That group is followed by Lucky Lately as they go down the hill. Then it's Dr. Wysong and Tip Top Gal, followed by Luckiest Lady Ever, who is racing alongside Ruby Bradley. The back of the pack, Lucky Stepper and Scarlet Heat. It's a strung-out group that runs down the hill. And the leader is Winter Break with Settle It pressing on the outside second. A beautiful trip for Stylin' Ocean, who comes after them with a 3-wide bid in third. Lucky Lately is racing in between horses fourth. Dr. Wysong is coming alive on the far outside. Scarlet Heat still has plenty of work to do. They're at the top of the stretch and a wide open scramble to the line. Far outside, Stylin' Ocean coming after. Settle It. They're stride for stride. Dr. Wysong is next. Then Lucky Lately, a 16th to go. And Settle It is strong on the front end. And Settle It turning away. Stylin' Ocean. Settle It takes care of business by a length and a half. Stylin' Ocean was second. Third went to Dr. Wysong. Then it was Lucky Lately. And Spanish Channel completes the super high five.
Nice timing on the Settle It discussion, and we just hope that he's stuck with it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going nuts over there.
He's in good shape.
Well, yeah, he made it.
Price came up, actually. Ended up going off at 8-1.
Yeah, that's very nice. Good for him. He's working very hard at this, and a player who's easy to root for, and happy for him. We'll have to see. We still some more machinations here with these two races left at Golden Gate, so a lot left to do. Players are really starting to sweat. I did talk to Justin, and he said he was not emotionally composed enough to come on. Because he's out of bullets. 195 for him, but he was not. I mean, I think he's through.
He should
but
be
he
good.
Was not. He was not confident. I told him we wanted to hear him sweat on the radio, and that he should come by. Is that him at the bar?
Yeah,
maybe I'll
bar,
go buy him a
it
drink
is,
and
it
see
is.
If we can get him
it
over
is.
Here.
It is. We should reset too and be here. Take a little of this. We've got, here, give that to Ron. And we've got Jason Beam with us. And, of course, Jason still in the afterglow. Is the afterglow...